Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths. And today I get to welcome author and coach Melissa Ford to the show, and we're going to talk, or she is going to talk, about powerful service. Melissa Ford is a master business and life coach, and she's been coaching for over 20 years, working with a variety of clients, including fast-rising coaches, entrepreneurs, business leaders, and career changers. She is also the author of Living Service, The Journey of a Prosperous Coach, which I happen to have on my desk. It's a great book. So when she first started coaching, she struggled to create clients. We all do. I mean, it's just, you don't just open your doors and go, ooh, I'm rich. Her business plan was simple. All she had to do was get better and better as a coach, and she believed that people would naturally hire her based on her experience. They didn't. Over time, she learned that in order to be successful, she had to fall in love with sales, that dreaded word, but not your typical transactional sale. And she's going to share that story with us today. So very quickly, Melissa is here to share selling through service, delivering value before you're paid, moving from hating to loving sales. This is a must-do for all successful entrepreneurs. How service transforms your business and your life, the power of how, waking up and growing up, those are two keys to living a successful life. And we are going to have a good time. So, Melissa, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here, and thank you for sending me the book.
Hi, Denise. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate the lovely introduction.
Well, I'm reading the book, and I'm going through the information you sent me. I went, oh, this is going to be so fun. So I wanted to make sure that people know what to expect from you, you know, before they go, let me go grab a cup of coffee and not come back. I want them to stay. So before we get really going, tell people anything about yourself that I might have missed in that intro.
Well, you really hit the nail on the head when you said, no, you just don't open up the doors and think you're going to be rich, because I thought that would happen. I was one of those people who really knew nothing about business, running a business, and I just thought if I was great at coaching, people would line up and want to hire me. You'll build it and they will come. So if anybody's listening to this and you have any idea that that's how it works, you get to join my group and realize that it doesn't work that way. It really does require waking up, growing up, transforming yourself, learning how to sell, learning how to serve. So that's it in a nutshell, and I'm looking forward to talking about what actually happened and how I learned how to create a thriving business.
Exactly, and so many people, look, those of us who start businesses, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small business owners, we're by and large pretty darn smart people, but we don't know what we don't know. You know, mm-hmm. We see other people doing it. Oh, that must be really easy to do. She just makes it look effortless. It's not. I mean, people like me, people like you, people like all, every single one of my guests, past, present, future, we've all struggled. We go to bed with a stomachache going, oh, my God, what did I just do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? Do I have to get a job? And, you know, for me, the answer to that is no. I'd rather cut lawn than go work in somebody else's office. So it's not as easy as we make it look, and there's so many different things that you need to think about, that you have to do, that you have to understand. And being of service to me is the first thing you need to do. The first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might need a business plan. You may not. You may just need an Excel spreadsheet with some checkboxes. There are a lot of techie things that you need to do. There are a lot of lists that you may need to make. But if you're not of service, you probably shouldn't be in business. And that's just my thinking.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And what I noticed for myself and people that I work with, whether they're coaches or aspiring entrepreneurs or even people inside business is that if you create a lot of lists to check off before you even start serving, you're never going to get to the place where you'll create a client, make a sale, because you're busy doing what you think you need to do. That really isn't what you need to do. It's actually what keeps you from serving and creating clients. So all of those things, they're wonderful to have, but you can start right away and offer somebody a conversation. In my business, it's helping somebody willing to sit down and talk to them, see how you might help them. You do that first, and then all the other things you can do second and third and fourth.
This is true, because those techie things, those business things, the things that you must do to create and sustain a business, a lot of that you're going to learn just by finding out what your potential clients need. Like, oh, okay, I need to create that, you know, whatever it is, standard operating procedure, so I can train somebody to do that work for me while I am consulting or whatever it is that I'm doing. But yeah, I mean, I see so many people. I tend to lurk on Facebook groups and the tales of, wow, and I look at them and I keep my mouth shut. It's not up to me to school anybody. If I can offer to help, I will. But for the most part, I'm thinking, you didn't learn much from that, did you? Which I find very sad. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking a lot of bad advice, but you're not helping people. And until you can help people and they really like you and they refer you, you're kind of not doing much.
Very true. You're right. So you can build a business, and I'm really talking about either a small business or a solopreneur. Yes, it definitely applies to big business too. It applies to it across the board. But you've got to be willing to get out there and help and connect with people and build relationships and see if you can make a difference. That's the only way that it's going to work. And often I see just what you're seeing, Denise, is you hop online and you see the 90 days to six figures, or build this sales funnel, or learn how to monetize through social media, or, you know, and it goes on and on. And that's the hard way, because it doesn't work. And what ends up happening is people get frustrated, they start making up stories about themselves, maybe I'm not cut out to do this, and really they just don't understand how it works. And that was what was going on for me too. I did a lot of things that had me avoiding sales because I didn't want to get rejected. I didn't want people to think I was being pushy, or I was so uncomfortable. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why people try to find something outside of themselves to save the day, to win the business.
Oh, that's exactly right. And I think, listen, we are, and I've said this for a long time, multiple years on this podcast, we are living in what can easily be known as the know, like, and trust factor economy. It's actually a book of a friend of mine, the know, like, and trust factor. But it's also how the economy works online, at any rate. And if people do not know you, they do not like you, they do not trust you, they're not going to put, I don't know, let's just say somebody wants to consult with me about a website. They want to consult with you about coaching. If they haven't already heard or seen great things to and about you, they're going to keep on going. You've got nothing. And I'm sure you've seen this too, Melissa, people, because of that whole sales mentality, and I had, I was like, no, I don't want to, no, I can't do it. And I would cry and whine and moan. But I didn't want to do the ask. I was so uncomfortable asking, you know, can I have your business? Can I consult with you? The ask is important, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a key part of the service, because in the work that I do, I'm helping somebody first. I'll offer them a conversation. I'll find out what's going on. I'll listen. I'll ask questions. And then I want to start helping them so that they can see that something can change. that whatever it is that they want to create is possible. So I want to start coaching. I want to start being there and helping them to transform. So I'm doing that, but I know I can't keep doing that because nobody grows, nobody changes from good advice. So at some point, we have to talk about what it looks like to work together. And that's the ask. But I see it now as it's actually a way to serve. If this person doesn't know what it takes to work with me, not just my fee, but how we're going to do it and when we're going to do it and how often and what's involved and what's going to happen in between these sessions, they can't make a decision to either continue to work with me and create more of what they want or say no and look somewhere else. So it's a real important part of any business, of any service or product for the ask to be able to offer that.
And it's tough. I mean, when I had the hardest kind of time, and I finally just sucked it up. And, you know, I would be talking with people who had contacted me about my services. And right now I'm thinking particularly of the virtual assistants industry. For a long kind of time, I was known as one of a handful, just a scant handful, of virtual assistant industry experts. And I was very, very good at it. But, you know, finally I just said, okay. And I would stand up, you know, when somebody, you know, when I was in the conversation, we were consulting. Some of these conversations were an hour long as we explored what people needed, what they thought they needed, turned out often not to be at all what they needed. But then, you know, they would say, okay, well, what are your fees? And I would have to stand up, take a deep breath, and do the Wonder Woman pose and just blurt it out. You know, this is how much it is. It's a retainer.
Yeah.
I don't hourly work. And, you know, I was very clear on it. And I was not forceful, but I was very clear. There was no room for argument, and it worked. I was like, oh, who knew? Don't dilly, you know, shally around. Just tell people what it is they need to know. So once I got that little piece of it, piece of cake. But it took a long time, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
and
so
you
glad
have
you bring
a similar
up.
Story, don't you? I mean, you had kind of the same thing going on.
I sure did. And I'm really glad you're bringing it up because, you know, when I'm talking about it now, it sounds like, yes, this is what you do and don't do this and speak this way. But the truth is we all have to go through it. We all have to have our own journey. And I didn't know about the Wonder Woman pose, Denise. I did not know about
it. Oh, I am going
it.
To – oh, it's fantastic. It's a TED Talk. It's one of the top five TED Talks by a professor called Amy Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y. Go find it. It's fabulous.
Okay. Sounds good.
You will love it. You can thank me later.
Well, you'll
Amy
love
Cuddy.
This. As I'm talking to you right now, I'm standing up, so I think it's probably similar. But, yeah, so I did struggle with that. And there was, I don't know if it's in the book, but there was one funny moment where I had offered a woman a conversation. She was a financial planner, and we were talking, and she wanted some coaching. And as we go along, I had prepared how to say what it is that my fee is. You know, here's my fee. And it cost X, and I had practiced it. So we're in this conversation, and she finally inquires, so, you know, what does it take to work with you? So I tell her, and I feel so good. I said it powerfully and comfortably, and she looked at me and she said, that sounds great. I want to do that. Would you take some sort of payment? And I'm like, well, yeah, what are you recommending? What are you thinking? And so as she's telling me, I'm getting confused. Because I'm thinking, does she not know how to add? This doesn't add up to my fee. Well, what happened was in my telling her my fee, I had dropped a zero.
That's hard to recover from.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about awkward. Talk about weird. I mean, it was just one of those moments. And she then, when I told her the fee, she got to be shocked. And she was very gracious and said that she'd think about it, which is probably the last thing you ever want to hear from somebody. They're going to think about it. And off she
right.
went.
Or I need to talk to my husband, or I'll talk with my
yes.
wife. You need to say, okay, cross that one
exactly.
off.
Exactly. I need to talk to my financial planner, my psychologist. Yeah. So anyway, I had many of those bombs, and it required me to go back to my coach. Luckily, I had a coach at the time, run game film on it. Which is, you know, coaching comes from the world of sports. So game film is to go back and look at the plays. Where did the fundamentals break down? What worked? What didn't work? And go back and get up and do it all over again. So learning how to serve, learning how to sell in this way for me was really about being willing to put aside my ego repeatedly.
It's interesting because we're not taught be salespeople. We're taught, I have a computer science degree, I'm taught to be on a keyboard 100 hours
mm-hmm.
a day, it seems like. Yeah, and I do a lot of consulting, and I do, you know, a lot of working with my clients, and I love it, but that's the part of service. But you know what I did learn over the years? It didn't take that long, I'll be honest with you, because I don't like to play, and I don't want people playing with me. So what I've done, and it sounds like you have done this as well, once, you know, I'm pretty much, I would think, midway with the sales conversation, because that's what it is. People have come to me because they want something from me. They know they're going to have to pay for it. They just want to know what's in it for them and what's, you know, how is it going to cost them? What is it going to cost them? So I don't even wait for them anymore. I'll just say, okay, you need this website. It's going to cost you this much. There's going to be a few out of pocket. And I'm just very clear, and I just lay it out, and they go, okay, when do we start? They appreciate
mm-hmm.
it, actually, that they don't have to go, oh, God, you know, is she ever going to get to the point? You know, I find that people are like, yeah, we're ready. You know, we were ready for, you know, 10 minutes ago. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So your example is great because with your experience and having done it enough and realizing service is your clarity, it's your comfort around it, it's your belief in what you offer and how it's going to help them. And I really like what you said, which is, okay, so when are we going to go? The assuming it's going to go. It also, I love that because it brings a hope, it brings a certainty, it brings enthusiasm, and that's what people want. They want to feel good about what they're buying.
And they come to you for a reason. If you're going to be diffident and cautious and unsure, listen, we all have spidey sense. We can pick up that you are not really all in. You may not be the best coach or the best, you know, agency for me. Whatever it is, they're going to pick that up. They came to you because they need you. They just want to know, again, what's in it for them, how do you work with them, and what is it going to cost them? It's
mm-hmm.
really that simple.
Yeah, yeah. And for coaches, I like to also take it a little bit further too. And one thing that I did learn was they may be coming to me because they see me as a particular level of coach, or they know about my background helping coaches learn how to serve. But ultimately, they really want to know whether and how I can help them. And for me, I love having that conversation so that they can begin to see, yeah, there's something in here. There's some way that she can help me, and then to start to help create a shift for them in the conversation. So
exactly. Your job and my job is to empower these people who come to us. You know, we're not supposed to scare them to death with this is going to cost you this, this, and this, and you're getting 14 widgets. They don't care. They just need to know that you got their back and you're going to do everything you can to get them where they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. That's it.
I love your style. Okay, so let's go back to where we started that, you know, we talked about the transactional sale, but, well, we talked about falling in love with sales. I promise you that was a toughie for me. I mean, if you told me I was a natural
mm-hmm.
salesperson, I'd bop you over the head. No, I'm not. But apparently I am. And I finally embraced that. But let's talk about the transactional sale because, and I think we hit on it a bit, but in many ways, having just a simple transactional sale, if you're a coach or if you're like me, an agency, that's not going to work, is it? And why won't it work?
Yeah, it doesn't work. But as I had said earlier, I really hoped it would. I really hoped that I could just give them my background, my experience, my certifications, tell them how I would coach, tell them everything about me, and then they would want to pay me. So the transactional piece was I had left out the relationship. And I've listened to a number of your guests, Denise, and I know they talk about the relationship, but that was something I did not know. I did not understand that, at least in my business, and in, I know in many businesses, again, I'm not selling widgets, it's not transactional. And it doesn't work because that individual gets in that moment when I'm trying to create a transaction that it's all about me. And the minute they get that, they run. Because I was mistaken. It's not about me. It's about
them.
It's
not. I know.
Right.
I had to figure that out as well. And I will tell people who come to me for a website, okay, just what you said. I do this. I've got these credentials. I've got da-da-da-da-da. Nobody cares. And
right.
I will just stop them and say, it's not about you. It's about the pain point you can cure or fix or alleviate. How can you help them? And then they have to shift that around and go, ooh, let me think about that. But once they get down that road, it's a whole different vista, if you will. And, I mean, we've both gone through it. You have to be able to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and that really required me practicing over and over and over, getting the focus off of me. And that actually just became something that I did. And you talked about being a natural. For me, that practice piece, that allowed me to become a natural. And so I'd sit down with someone and I'd notice the focus would be back on me, and I'm wondering how I'm coming off and what are they thinking and am I going to get the sale and gosh, I hope I do. I've got this bill. It's on me. And then I'd notice it and I'd shift it off of me and I'd start looking at that person and get back into their world and talking to them. And I would do that over and over and over. And that's what saved me. Was that one thing that I kept doing, and it made such a difference, and it turned transactional into relational.
I love that story. I'm not sure that I was really conscious if I was trying to make probably in the beginning. I mean, you know, you're not working in somebody else's office. You need money. I'm sure I probably made those same kind of I don't know that they're mistakes, but, you know, those same kind of moves. But after a while, it just occurred to me that it wasn't about me. I've got a computer science degree, Melissa. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I mean, it's in the closet. Once I got it, I stuck it in the closet and I built a business. I didn't even go work for anybody else with it. But nobody cares. I mean, they, to some degree, they do want to see that, you know, you have done the training. You do know what you're doing. But it shouldn't be the focus, should it?
No. And you're right. People, they want to know that you're an intelligent individual and you can do what you say you're going to do, but yeah, they don't. I was talking with a coach, oh gosh, I want to say maybe a month or two ago, and he was telling me that he had this highest certification you can get from this one particular coaching group. And he said to me, you know, nobody cares. It doesn't make a difference. And I went, yeah, amazing, isn't it? Because people will do that when they start to get insecure. I know I did this. I had my coaching practice, and I'm going along, and things aren't moving as quickly as I would like. And then I got this thought, oh, I know. I need to go get another certification. That's why people aren't hiring me. So off I go and I get another certification, and oddly enough, it didn't make a difference. And then I started to see, yeah, they don't care about that. They don't care that I've got this certification and these years of experience. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and, you know, I realized that pretty early, but then I'm kind of pig-headed. If you've heard me at all, you know this already. So it's not like
me
a closely
too.
Held secret. But, yeah, I was told, okay, you know, we're going to place you in this office, and, you know, we can get you, you know, over here. And I said, no, you guys, no, I don't want to work for somebody else. I want to work for me. But I did realize pretty quickly, I think, because I've been doing this for a while now, but I think pretty quickly I realized that it really wasn't about me or my degree or anything else. I had to be able to get people what they wanted, when they wanted it,
mm-hmm.
get them where they wanted to go. And if I couldn't do that, I could have double degrees and it wouldn't have made a lick of difference. It just wouldn't. So there's nothing wrong
yeah.
with educating yourself. I say educate yourself every day. But if you're depending on that little piece of paper in today's economy, the know, like, and trust economy, it's not going to do you much good.
No, no, it's not. I mean, you have to be the one, again, looping back to what we said in the beginning, you have to be the one who goes out and serves. And then all these other things, great, but that's what you lead with.
And, you know, we talk a lot about service, and I think for a lot of people, it's kind of a new concept. So let's talk about service, because it is so, and we've covered it quite a bit, but let's see if we can narrow it down a bit, because some people may be going, what do you mean service? You know, do you mean like going to church and tithing? And
yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. So this is how we help people. You know, we have servant hearts, I guess, if you will. I don't really know how to explain it because I've never articulated. So I'm going to throw that one back to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, if I'm slinging this word around, right, I should have some definition for it. So I'm glad you brought it up, because that is the first thing that I have people who come to me and we work together to define. What does service mean to them? It's like any word. It's that you throw the word love around or self-worth. I mean, what does it mean? So then they start to define what service means. And I've heard the funniest definitions. I've heard things such as what I should really do, that's service, or give them everything they want, that's service, you know, the self-sacrifice type of service.
Right.
And that is not service. Service for me started out with just the simple question of how can I help? What can I do? Knowing I'm not in charge of the change that's going to occur in you, but I'm going to do everything that I can. So just the simple question of how can I help? And then I played with it a little bit, because I was curious about, well, what else could it mean? And then I added the word love. I am going to love this person and do everything I can to help them create what they want. And then I threw in the word fiercely love. So I kept playing with the definition of service, and I still do, to see what fits me and what I like, where I like to come from. It's the place that I'm coming from inside of me. It's my attitude. It's my intention. So those are some of my ideas about service. How about you? What does it mean to you?
I love all of those. You've given it a lot more thought than I have, and I'm writing these down as you're talking. To be honest with you, this is going to sound almost a little less going, not almost, it's going to sound a bit odd, but to me, service sometimes is not helping somebody. And by not helping somebody, I mean you don't take their project or their job, because you know you're not the best person. What you do, what I do, is that, you know, I'm not your girl. What you're asking me for, it's not really in my wheelhouse. But I do know people. Can I refer you? So that's one of my acts of service. I don't try to take everything that comes down the pike. A lot of people do, especially when they're first starting out, and they go, oh, I've got to make the house note. Oh, geez, the cat needs to be fed. And they will take projects and jobs, if you will, that are actually going to damage them in terms of reputation, in terms of how it makes them feel. And it's hard, really hard sometimes to turn down the money, but honestly, sometimes it's the best thing to do. And I consider that service. Mm-hmm. Does that even make sense?
Totally. And I really like you brought that up, because it's not a one-way street. It's not just what serves that person. It's also what serves me, what serves my business. And I absolutely agree. What can serve that person is for me to say, I can't help you. I know somebody who can. Can I connect you to them? I had a woman show up years ago, and I was new to this, and I was wanting to make the money and prove that I could make the money and create the client. So very driven in that way. She sat down, we had this conversation, and when she was done, she said, "Can you help me?" And out of my mouth comes, "No." And she left. She said, "Yeah, I don't think you can. I think I need to see a therapist."
Oh.
I said, "Yeah, I think you do too." And she said, "Well, do you have the name of one?" I said, "Yeah, I can give you the name of a guy I worked with years ago. He's amazing." And they connected. But it was just one of those moments where I thought, I can help her. She's so wedded to her stories, and the grip is so tight that this is not the time in her life for a coach. She
good for you.
Really needs to speak to somebody else. Yeah. Well, that was the grace of something that occurred, because, again, like I said, I was on a mission. But I agree with you. I do not want to take on somebody that isn't coachable or ready, or they're not my wheelhouse. Like, for instance, I don't work with teams. I don't work inside organizations with teams. I don't. People who are brilliant at it. Yeah, I don't love it. I love one-on-one. I like working with small groups. But in terms of teams and leadership with teams, no. And so I want to set them up with the best person where they can have the greatest success. That's what I'm interested in. And I know it comes
exactly.
back in some way.
And that's mm-hmm. service. That is service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, it's,
yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you is, and, you know, we're talking about former, you know, people coming to us and say, can you help? And you can't say no. Honestly, I made the mistake again years ago. You know, when you're first starting out, you fall into every single crack you can find. You're just going to go straight into it and say, oh, geez.
Yes.
You know? But I had this very well-known woman, and she is a coach, and she's still very well-known, and she's still all over stages. She's bat crap crazy. The woman is nuts. And I say that with all honesty, because I had to deal with her. And she offered me, you know, she said, okay, I'd love to barter with you. By the way, y'all who are listening, don't barter. Don't barter.
Yes, don't.
These are transactions. You get what you pay for. They get what you didn't get paid for. So don't do it. But anyway, this woman said, oh, you know, I've got this huge platform, and she did, and she does. However, she's a raging alcoholic, and she's addicted to pain medication, which I found out fairly quickly. And I'll never tell you who she is, so don't anybody ask me. It's never going to come out of my lips. But anyway, this, and I said, sure. So she was going to pay me a certain amount. I think it was $1,000, which for my brand new, spanking new business, that was a lot. I was like, ooh, I've got $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in the bank. Fortunately, I didn't touch it, and she proceeded to drive me and her team, and that's what made me think of it, because she had a team, absolutely insane. And she would get drunk, and then she would copy everybody on the team. And she would, and I remember one of the girls on the team called me. She said, you're going to quit, aren't you? I said, oh, I fired her an hour ago. I had done a crap ton of work for this woman. I've refunded every penny. I didn't
mm-hmm.
try to keep a penny. And then she called me again, drunk. Oh, but, you know, I didn't mean, I don't care if you meant it. Do not ever contact me again. And that was years ago. And it still is such a lesson for me. Big, big lesson. So if it doesn't feel right to you, don't do it. If somebody wants to barter you for your hard-fought, hard-won services, don't do it. So there are just so many lessons that we've learned as we've built these practices, these businesses. But, yeah, I love what you're saying.
Yeah. And I agree, there's so many cracks to fall into. And the people who are listening, just know you are incredibly resilient. So when you fall into the first crack and you learn a major lesson from it, you just dust yourself off, you pull yourself up, and you keep going. And those lessons, they'll serve you well. I mean, all of mine, now because I have some distance, I can laugh at some of them, but boy, they were the best way to learn was to make those kinds of mistakes.
Oh,
they
yeah.
just were.
And it really was. This was years ago, and I'm over it. I was over it at the time. My ex-husband was. He said, "What do you mean we have to give that money back? Are you sure?" Yeah, I'm sure. But one of the lessons, and this was just instinct, I think, that because another very well-known coach was the one who recommended her to me, and he got nosy. He was like, "Well, you know, how's everything going?" "It's fine. I hope there's no way in the world I was going to share any information between these two people. It wasn't my place to do that." To this day, he doesn't know anything about it unless she has shared. I have never discussed it. I kept it completely neutral. So the lesson there is don't badmouth people either, because, you know, whatever happened, keep it quiet. Just pull up your panties and go about your business. Just don't badmouth people. Again, know, like, and trust. If you're out there saying, "Oh, so-and-so is crazy," you know, she probably needs to be institutionalized. Do not put a name out there. Just don't. So I just never discussed. This is the first time I've actually discussed it in, God, 15 years? I don't know. I don't even know how long ago it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you. I don't want to badmouth people. And I also know that any time I open up my mouth and I point out some deficiency in somebody else, it's in me. And darn if
exactly.
it doesn't come around and show itself rather quickly, and then I get to notice, "Oh, yeah, you've got that too." Because that's going on for you. You would be able to see it over there. And it just is, I think that's one of the things that I so appreciate about learning how to sell through service and growing a business, is that I had to grow myself. I had to really look and learn and get humbled, and then the cycle would start again. And I'm so grateful for it because it's made such an impact in my life. Who knew, you know, you could start a business and wake up and grow up as an individual. It's the best thing ever.
It really is, and it smarts at the time. I mean, you're like, "Oh, man, what was I thinking?" And, "Oh, this is going to come back and bite me," and it just did. I mean, you walk around. Listen, as entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, we have to have a cast iron stomach. You can't take it to heart. You learn the lesson, and then you try very hard not to make that mistake again. We often do. We will just go, "Okay, this is the third time. I'm paying attention now. I'm not going to do that one again."
Yeah. Well, I had to learn that too. I had to learn, and I'm still learning it, that giving myself the beat down doesn't work, because I was somebody who was really wanting to always get it right. And bringing that mentality in, especially into business, and bring it into your life, it doesn't work. You're going to get it wrong. And then there's having the kindness and the compassion with myself so that I can get over it and continue on. And that is an ongoing practice for myself. It's getting easier, definitely. But, man, in the beginning, it was really hard. I didn't even have that muscle, and I had to learn that too.
How long have you been coaching?
I started coaching in 1995. And a long time, but I did not have a viable business. I did not start learning the business side of things until almost 11 years ago. So I had a long, long runway. I couldn't create clients. I couldn't fill groups. I was doing other things too during that time. So it was more of a part-time endeavor. But back in that, during that time, I always joke, I would talk to people about limiting beliefs, and they would want to know what religion I was referring to. Because back in the 90s, it wasn't, coaching was not mainstream like it is today.
Exactly. And that leads me back to what we, when I introduced you, you know, you struggled to create clients and your, you know, your business plan was pretty simple, but it wasn't really working. So do you have any kind of stories or case studies that you can share from that time when you didn't, you couldn't fill groups, you couldn't really create clients? And I love the way you say that, create clients, you know, because it's not just finding clients, you have to create an environment where they want to become your client, which is entirely something different. That may be a whole new other podcast, I don't know. But you know, talk to us about some of those things that, that you went through so our audience can go, ah, been there, done that, check that one out. Ooh, that one's new, I'm going to avoid that one. Can you share a bit?
Sure. Gosh, there are so many. And, of course, right now I'm drawing this massive blank.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So you're wanting a story. This, it's funny because this is actually good for me to see because I realize I'm so removed from it. It's kind of nice. So a time. Well, I had a business partner way back in the day, and she's a really good friend of mine today. And we were both majorly insecure around money and what to charge for money. And so we really, in many ways, held each other back. And the reason we held each other back was because when I would get over my fear of something, hers would kick in. And then I'd wait for her to get over her fear of whatever, whatever we might charge, say, for a workshop or a group or anything like that. And then she'd get over her discomfort and I'd be back in mine. So finally, what I did with her, and she, again, she's a really great friend of mine today, I had to break up. I really had to go out on my own because I was using her as really an emotional crutch because I was just really afraid. That's why I struggled for so long. It's not that there was something inside of me that was innately wrong that wouldn't allow me to create this business, but I had so much insecurity and fear around how to ask for money, how, what to charge, how do you create this client, what do I do next? And I want to say that one of my big wake-up calls was that I realized that fear is operating when I ask how. How do I do this? How do I do that? Because you can Google anything these days. And how, being confused and staying in that space was a great way for me to avoid doing something that was incredibly uncomfortable, like going up to somebody and say, you know, I help people with that. Would you like to talk further?
Interesting. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about was the power of how. And I was reading, before we jumped on this call, I was reading, I think it's page 53, but that particular chapter. Let's talk a bit about that because you're right. I mean, if I need to do something right now, I'm having trouble with my Norton VPN. I just go on, you know, YouTube and find out how to fix it and then I go on. We didn't used to have that, did we? We had to just, you know, grab a wrench and stumble through whatever it is we were trying to fix. So let's talk about the power of how, because the chapter in your book is very, very powerful.
Okay, yeah. So the chapter in the book is talking about how there is different than the story that I just told. That was asking how do I do something, again, like I said, was a way to hide out, a way not to just get up and start doing something that I wasn't sure I could do, but doing it anyway. But the book, the chapter How, that chapter is probably one of the most significant ones for me in that book. And it stands for the acronym Honest, Open, and Willing. How? Honest, Open, and Willing. And what had happened was there was a group of us that did an intervention for a loved one. And it was it's a loved one who had an addiction with alcohol. And we had put off doing this like most people do when it comes to interventions. And we came to a moment where we knew it was time to act. So we had the intervention, and the person said yes. And on the way to the airport, and I heard this from somebody else, we had hired an interventionist also. And on the way to the airport, our loved one said, well, I don't know how to be sober. I don't know how to give this up. How do I do this? And the interventionist said, it's simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple. And it's being honest, open, and willing. It's how. And later, Denise, I heard that story, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, if this loved one, our loved one, has the courage to ask that question, and that answer comes out, and he's going to use how for his sobriety, where can I use it in my own life? And I, at the moment, didn't have the answer, but eventually it started coming to me, which is for me to reflect too, where am I not honest in my own life? Where am I not open? Where am I not willing? And I continue to use how as a way to self-reflect, self-scout. If I feel any kind of tension or anxiety, I'll go back to honest, open, and willing. And it's just a great reminder that we do have this power inside of us if we tap into those three things.
That is actually amazing, because I hadn't thought of it like that. And, you know, to me, procrastination is one of those things. I'm excellent at it. I'll talk about it tomorrow. But procrastination to me, and it's one of my big bugaboos, because I know I do it. I mean, to the world, it looks like I am all over the place. I am busy. I'm doing stuff. But then the little Denise standing on my shoulder says, you know, you could have done better. You could have done this. Why didn't you do this? Like, shut up. We'll talk about this tomorrow. You know, that's a big one for me, is procrastination. Although most of the world until today didn't know that. Shut up, Denise. but yeah, it's always been a big, big thing that I'm actually ashamed of. So Now I need to start talking to myself how, and find out what it is that I, why don't I want to do this? This is important. This is a moneymaker. Why haven't I done it? I'm mowing the grass instead. Well, I'm not. I'm calling the guy to come mow my grass, but, you know, I just put it off and did something different. So I need to have these conversations with myself, no question about it. How often do you do this?
Yeah.
I mean, is this kind of a daily practice, or just when something pops up and you go, uh-oh, danger, danger, Will Robbins? You know, is that, how does it happen?
Yeah, you know, it's both. Sometimes, it's when something pops up and I can feel some tension. And everybody is very familiar with their own tension. It can show up in my throat. It can show up, you know, just like tight shoulders, whatever. And when that happens, I want to slow down and take some time and just reflect, what's going on? What am I thinking that's creating this for me? Because any emotional experience, any physical experience I'm having is coming purely from thought. So I can reflect. And the honesty piece is, Melissa, get real. What are you thinking? And then the openness piece is, when I ask that question, what's going on? What are you thinking? To be open to the answer, not so I can take it and beat myself with it, but so I can be open to see what I can see. I'm going to see something. And it's exciting. It's like, what am I going to see about myself? Oh, there it is. There's that familiar, whatever it might be, the procrastination or the concern about getting something right. That's my procrastination. And I see it again. And then, well, you know, am I open to seeing that I don't need that? Or I might see something else. I don't know in the moment, but I'll look. And then am I willing to take one step? Am I willing to, for me, I know what works for me with the procrastination thing is I'm willing to set my timer for 10 minutes and just see what happens. So then, you know, things will come to me. So that's how I use it. And I also know for myself, I have a coach, and as a result of getting coached, there's just an increased level of awareness. I pay my coach, and I've invested in myself. I'm very aware of what's going on. So I do self-scouting, and I do pay attention to those kinds of things. So it's actually elevated my how.
That makes sense. I've had coaches over time. I don't have one at this moment, which is probably a mistake. But I will tell anybody listening, if you are in business or you want to be in business, you're going to need coaches and mentors. Those are going to be investments that you really need to pencil in or pin them in. Don't even pencil them in. It's almost mandatory in my view that you have a really great coach that gets you and who can coach you. Because some people are uncoachable for, you know, for whatever reason or whatever the time is, or maybe they're with the wrong person. But get a coach. Find mentors. You know, read. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you need to do, but always open yourself up for success. And you can't do that when you're sitting all by yourself going, that didn't work. Well, I'm going to go make gumbo. You know, procrastinate. Been there. Done it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Mardi Gras is coming up. I have to make a gumbo this weekend. but
sounds
it's
good.
It's delicious. Yeah, you smell my kitchen. It smells so good. But anyway, I mean, when I first started out, and we, you know, you started out a little bit before I did. I think I started in 2000, 2001. I don't remember now. So I've been doing what I do about 20 years, which stuns me because it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But the thing is, when I started, we didn't have access to all of the help and the information and the how, you know, go find YouTube, none of that existed. We had to just wing it and pretend like we knew what we were doing, which I think makes us stronger business people, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely something that strengthened me, you know, winging it and just go do it. Because you're going to learn something. But, you know, the thing that really helped me the most was finally asking for help.
Me too.
That's what did it.
Once I finally got out of my little introverted shell and figured out there were people I could ask for help, I didn't have to present myself as perfect, even though I am, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect. But, you know, I held on to that image that I couldn't make mistakes like you. You've said it a couple times, and I have that same issue. You know, it has to be good. It has to be perfect. I'm getting away from that attitude. It's painful. It's slow.
Yes.
But I am realizing that there is no perfection unless it's in nature. That's all there is. So give it up. But, it's once I finally went, you know, I don't know what other people think of me. I know how I think I want them to perceive me, which is ridiculous. So once I got over that and started asking for help, oh, my God, everything changed.
Yep. It sure does. And you're right. When I'm building, you know, my big ego and protecting myself, then it is painful. And it makes the process so slow. That's really what I know was going on in the beginning for me. And then the other thing, it squeezes all of the creativity and the joy and the enthusiasm and the inspiration out of your work because you're so busy, you know, putting on your armor. So asking for help, like our loved one did, boy, that makes the difference. It really does.
I love that story. How's he doing?
Great. He's doing
wonderful.
Great. Yeah,
wonderful.
Thanks for asking. Yeah, doing great.
Well, anybody who's lived with alcoholic parents or family members or whatever, you know, drugs, whatever they've got going on, it impacts everybody. And I don't think they mean for it to. They're just not aware. It impacts everybody. You know, they're living in their own life and heck with everybody else. difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of ways to impact people with how we behave.
We really do. So let's go back, and there was one thing I wanted to ask you. We're getting so far off because I'm listening. Oh, I have a question. Waking up and growing up. Now, those are two different things, are they? You say they're two keys to living a successful life. Have we covered that in any way?
Yes, we have. You know, the waking part up is the being willing to have an insight, being able to self-reflect
okay.
and see what you see. So we've covered that. And the growing up piece, too, is the willingness to practice, to go do what you need to do and repeat and keep doing it.
And see, I never thought of that. Yeah, it just, that was a blind spot for me until you started talking about it. I was like, really? It never occurred to me that I needed to practice anything. Although, you know, when I watched the Amy Cuddy TEDx, and I did practice standing up, taking a breath and going, okay, this is my fee. This is my retainer fee, by the way. I started my business very early on not doing hourly work. It didn't make sense to me. You couldn't budget with it. You didn't know if you were going to do the work and somebody was going to actually pay you. So, you know, I created a retainer at the high end because I knew my worth. And my attitude even then, and I started out as I was already a web developer, so virtual assistants was something that was really an add-on service for all of my clients. But I knew my worth, and I knew what I was already doing with my clients. So when I added that shingle, if you will, I started at the time $35 an hour, which nobody was doing. My attitude is, if you don't want it, you don't get it. I have other work to do. And it went crazy. I mean, when I quit that particular industry, I was at $100 an hour with a 20-hour a month minimum. But I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. There was no challenge for me anymore. And it was draining my creativity. I'm glad you used that word.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you to move on because
a lot of
people don't. Again, you know, they're back in that place and there's fear and they feel anxious and they're overwhelmed and they're stuck. And anytime that happens, that is a clue to wake up and start heading in another direction.
Exactly. Find a coach. You know, find out what you really are doing. Is it service? Is it just making money? You should be able to do both. So tell people a bit about where they can find you. Well, let me back up a bit, Melissa. Why did you write this book? It's a great book.
Yeah, thank you. I wrote the book because I have come across so many great coaches who exist or great coaches in the making, and they've struggled with this service sales piece. They've struggled with the business piece. And again, you'll see entrepreneurs do the same thing. They're passionate about what they do. And then this piece, they have no idea. And so I saw people struggling with it, and I saw a lot of them giving up. Because again, they had made up stories about what it meant about them that they weren't being successful. And I thought, well, you know, I've had this long runway, this big dance with getting myself going. I wanted to put it out there and normalize it for people so they could read it and they could see themselves and say, okay, if she did it, I can do it. They could have a laugh. They could get some practical tips. They could really be reassured they're on the right path. They just have to keep going. So that's why I wrote the book.
Excellent. Well, listen, we've got about 60 seconds, so where can people find you on the web and where can they find the book? It is on Amazon, I know that, but where can they find you?
Yep, they can find me at my website. It's melissafordcoaching.com, and I can be reached at my email, melissa@melissafordcoaching.com. And I wanted anybody who's listening to know that if you would like an excerpt from the book, I have a couple of chapters, and if you email me, I'll be happy to send you the PDF so you can get a taste of what this book is about.
Excellent. Melissa, thank you so much. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and I do thank you for all the wonderful tips and advice and, you know, just the stories that you have shared with our audience. So So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and honestly anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your journey. Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks, Denise.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.